All right. Last week, I started a new series entitled The Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, while that is the title of the series, it was also the title of my message last week. And one of the main points that I made was this: you cannot separate the power of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit are the supernatural things that He does. Now, I shared in the first service, and I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't on my notes, so I'm going to share it again. The Holy Spirit comes with the character of God, the nine fruit of the Spirit. How many of you want those fruits, those character traits of God's character to grow in you? Let me see your hands. Come on. That should be every one of us. In fact, if you don't put your hand up, it's even more you. All right, we all need the character of God to grow in our lives. The Apostle Paul says that it is our destiny to mature into the image of Jesus Christ, and that word image is icon in the Greek, and it literally means to be a mirror-like representation of God. So the Holy Spirit brings the character of God, the nine fruit of the Spirit. But some people want to divide the Holy Spirit in half and leave it just at the fruit of the Spirit. But because He is the Spirit of God, let me ask you a question. Is your God powerful? Is your God supernatural? Does He move and do phenomenal things? So then why would we want the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, to only come with half of God? You see, the Holy Spirit also has nine gifts of the Spirit. There are nine gifts, supernatural manifestations, from a message in tongues to interpretation of tongues to the gift of discernment. How many of you could use more discernment? Come on, these are gifts that God wants to give. Wisdom is another gift. How many of you want the gift of wisdom? In today's day and age, with all the crazy that's happening, we need extra wisdom. Why would we oppose the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Why would you want to cut the Holy Spirit in half and only say, well, this part of the Holy Spirit is for today, and that part isn't for today? Come on. I want all of God. I want all of Jesus. I want all of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Jesus would get words of knowledge. He was talking to the woman at the well, and He started to read her mail and told her about her life. She turned around and said, I realize you're a prophet. Words of knowledge. Do you know that all the gifts of the Spirit operated in the Old Testament? Every one of them. And it wasn't just the prophets who prophesied. King Saul was amongst the prophets, and he started to prophesy. He was a king. When Moses was bringing the people out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, God met with Moses at the tent of meeting, and He called 70 of the elders to come. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God fell on the 70, and they all started to prophesy. And you know what happened? There were two men in the camp who weren't part of the 70 elders, and they started prophesying too. And Joshua thought, oh, this is a no-no, this can't happen. And he went running to Moses, and he said, Moses, Moses, two men that aren't in the inner circle, two men that aren't part of the 70 elders are prophesying. And you know what Paul said? You know what Moses said? I said Paul because Paul echoed Moses in 1 Corinthians. Moses said, I wish they would all prophesy. You see, when we step into the Spirit, our relationship with God goes to a level that goes way beyond our mind and our physical body. God is a Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And so Moses is saying in the Old Testament, I wish they would all prophesy. God wants intimate relationship with you. And He is a supernatural God. And if he's going to have a relationship with you, he's not going to leave his supernatural entity back somewhere else and then just come as a carpenter. If God's going to have a relationship with you, he's going to have a relationship with you as the God that he is. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to move on, and today I want to talk about why we speak in tongues and why the God even ordained tongues. I've come to realize something. God is far more sensible than people realize. Now, while I say that in tongue in cheek, what I actually mean, Greg, is the fact that I hear Christians sometimes talk and they say, well, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't use any logic whatsoever. God, you can't figure him out. He's illogical. No, God is very logical. And the reason why people don't understand things of the Spirit is because they don't understand the principles and the rules of the spirit realm. For over 1,000 years, men have jumped off cliffs with wings that they made out of feathers and glued together. Men have been trying to fly, and they look like absolute idiots until someone started to recognize there are laws which they now call the laws of aerodynamics. And what seemed crazy and foolhardy became very logical when people learned the invisible laws. There are laws to the realm of the spirit, and David says in the Psalms, he says, the people saw the acts of God, but Moses learned the ways of God. In other words, the people saw God's manifestations, but Moses learned the principles of the Spirit. How many of you want to learn the principles of the Spirit? Absolutely. God never does anything for the sake of doing it. Everything he does on purpose because he has a purpose for it. And so tongues is not gibberish. Tongues is not just glossolalia and yapping away and with no logical purpose. I'm going to show you from Scripture that when you understand the spiritual principles, tongues is not only very logical, tongues is very necessary. Okay? Now, before I start to lay out my message today, I want to show you something that isn't usually taught. In 40 years of preaching, no one ever taught it to me. It's something that one day I observed it, and I've been teaching people ever since. It's not a deep thing. It's a simple thing. But the reason why I'm going to take a moment to show you a little principle of how things are written in Scripture, I'm going to do it so that as we start to look at this interaction of the Holy Spirit with our spirit, you will have greater understanding and clarity. You'll be able to define and determine what the Word of God is actually saying. So here we go. I want to show you, if we put it on the board, God's Spirit. Whenever the Bible talks about God's Spirit, it's always a capital S. Whenever the Bible is talking about our spirit, our human spirit, it is always written in a lowercase s. Now, that's important to take note of because it will help you understand certain scriptures, especially where the Holy Spirit is interacting with our spirit, okay? We're going to learn the ways of God and not just see the manifestation of God. Are you good with that? All right. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I just said so that you know I'm not making it up. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16, you could read this in the King James. You could read it in the New Living Translation. You could read it in the NIV, the New King James. It always works this way. For those who are led by the Spirit, capital S, of God, are children of God. The Spirit, capital S, you received, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit, capital S, you received, brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Next verse. The Spirit, capital S, whose Spirit? God's Spirit, himself testifies with our spirit, little s, that we are God's children. I'll give you another, for instance, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 14, we're going to see the same pattern. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, is saying, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and man's mind hasn't even begun to understand the awesome things that God has prepared for us. And then in verse 10, he says, these things God has revealed to us by his Spirit, capital S. The Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. Then Paul asks a question. Who knows the thoughts? Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? Notice it's a small s. You see that? All right. It's important to make this differentiation so that as we get into certain scriptures, you will not be confused and you'll be able to break things down and categorize it clearly in your head. Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So what Paul is saying is, Ron, as much as your wife knows you intimately and very, very well, from second to second, there are moods, there are emotions, there are flashbacks, there are memories, there are thoughts that start to affect you. And she could look at you and recognize a puzzled look, but she won't know what you're actually thinking. And what Paul is saying is every person's spirit, little s, knows everything about you. The same way the Spirit of God, capital S, searches the deep things of God, your spirit knows everything. Now, have you ever heard that you have a subconscious mind? So there are things that affect us, but consciously we're not aware of it, correct? There can be fears that are deep-rooted and tied to something in your childhood, and consciously you're not aware of it, but your spirit is. What a wonderful thing if we could unlock our spirit, okay? So I use this scripture purely, mostly, to show you when scripture's talking about God's spirit, it's capital S. When it's talking about our spirit, it's little s. Having established that reference so that we're starting from a place of understanding, let's talk about tongues here this morning. Speaking in tongues, is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, Paul says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to people, but speaks to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." So how do you speak in tongues? Through the Holy Spirit. Can we agree? That's capital S. But have a look at this next verse. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, Paul says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." So here's the question. Which is it? When we pray in tongues, is it the Holy Spirit or is it our spirit? And again, the only way you can get an answer is every scripture must agree with other scriptures or your interpretation is incorrect. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, this is when the Holy Spirit came down. Now, last week, I told you that the word Pentecost is Greek and it means 50. 50 days after Passover. The Hebrew word for Pentecost is Shavah. Everybody say Shavah. It doesn't mean shove off. All right, look at the person next to you and say Shavah. They're not telling you to shove off. Shavuot is a Hebrew ceremony. It was one of the ceremonies that demanded that all Jews come from everywhere and come to Jerusalem to celebrate Shavuot. The Greek is Pentecost. And on the very first Shavuot, when the Hebrew people came out of Egypt, they had their Passover, they sacrificed a lamb, they put blood over the doorposts of their house. When the spirit of death came, he could not touch their houses because of the blood of the lamb. How many of you know the devil can't touch you because of the blood of the lamb, okay? 50 days later, they leave the next day. 50 days later, they're out in the wilderness, and they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God says to Moses, tell the people to come to the mountain. I want them to experience me in a deeper level. And the Bible says fire came down on the mountain. Loud noise, thunder, lightning. And God boomed his voice from the mountain, okay? If we keep reading here, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, just like on Mount Sinai, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Next verse. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each one of them. So in Shavuot, the 50 days right after Passover, when God gave Moses the law, now 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God gives his Holy Spirit. Would you rather live under the law or under the Spirit of God? Under the Spirit of God. The Bible says the law brings death, but the Spirit brings life. All right. On top of that, fire came on the mountain. Here, fire came on the people. On the day of Shavuot, the first Shavuot, God spoke from the mountain. On the day of Pentecost, God is saying, now I am coming inside of you, and I'm going to put my Holy Spirit on your tongue, and I will speak through you. Huge difference. Huge difference. Until Jesus died and went to heaven, men and women were sacrificing lambs, and the blood was a token of something to come. And they said, we believe in that token. And so by faith, their sins were forgiven. But David said, the blood of bulls and goats can't really wash away your sins. And so their sins were still on them. But because of this token, they believed in the blood of a lamb, and God reckoned it to them as righteousness. When Jesus died and resurrected, he took his blood, according to the book of Hebrews, and went into the inner temple in heaven, the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled everything with blood. And for the first time in human history, men and women were actually absolved and forgiven completely of their sins. They were made clean. They were sanctified. And therefore, for the first time, the Holy Spirit could come inside of human beings. In the Old Testament, when they prophesied, when they did miracles, when they raised the dead, when they saw in the Spirit and had words of knowledge, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, the blood of the real Lamb has washed us from our sins, and now we're sanctified. The Holy Spirit comes inside. Huge difference. Instead of God just talking from a mountain, God is now talking through individuals. But my point is, are we talking in tongues by the Holy Spirit or through our spirit? It goes on to say, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Who spoke in other tongues? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit, capital S, enabled them. You see, it's a partnership. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Advocate. He'll lead you, teach you, guide you. He'll instruct you. He'll correct you. He'll convict you. It's a partnership. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability, and He touches our spirit. And for the first time in our lives, we start to talk not from our intellect, but from our spirit. You see, tongues is very relevant and very important. Everyone, look at me for a moment. God wants to have relationship with you spirit to spirit. Our brain has prejudice. Our brain has bias. Our brain has thought barriers and blockages, and we have our perspective. And many times, and Paul says this, he says we've got to pull down the thought barriers in our mind. God wants to talk to your spirit because your spirit is always open to God and it's not prejudiced by your mind. Amen. Hello? Are you with me? And so when we pray in tongues, literally, we start to respond from our spirit rather than our brain. So who prays in tongues? Your spirit prays in tongues by the Holy Spirit. Does everybody see that? Yes. We're going to put it on the screen. Simply put, my spirit speaks in tongues, but the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to speak in tongues. Another way of saying that is, when you pray in tongues, you're praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, from your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is why it's important for us to understand the capital S always represents the Holy Spirit. Little s always represents your human spirit. So, we're going to look at four reasons, four scriptural reasons why we pray in tongues. And the first is really cool. It says here, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. He will pray for you. Did you know that in the Greek, when Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit and He will be a comforter, in the Greek, the word is advocate. Do you know what an advocate is? It's someone who represents you and speaks on your behalf. Whoa! I want the Spirit of God to represent me and speak on my behalf. How many of you want the Holy Spirit to speak on your behalf? Absolutely. So here, the Spirit intercedes for us. He will pray for you and He will intercede. He will speak on your behalf. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, if anyone speaks in a tongue, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, capital S. So when you're praying in tongues, people don't understand. You may not even understand. But when you pray, you are praying mysteries. What does that mean? You are praying things that you don't even know need to be prayed for in your life. How many of you have all knowledge? You know absolutely everything. Can I see your hand? If we raise our hand, that's the first evidence that we know nothing. Okay? All right. The Spirit knows all things. And so I can pray about a situation, and I'm going to pray out of my perspective, and sometimes my perspective isn't the right perspective. Yeah. Hello? And so we can pray amiss. We could pray the wrong way. Paul actually says you don't get answers to your prayers because you're asking amiss. You are asking out of your limited knowledge and out of your perceptions. And so Paul makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, will speak mysteries to God. What is that? The things that you don't know need to be straightened out in your life or in your family's life. The Holy Spirit goes beyond the limitation of what we know here And with our spirit, he will intercede and be an advocate and go before God. How many people here have a business? Put your hand up if you have a business. How many people here have a troubled teenager in their life? How many people here have a wife that you just don't understand? You're afraid to put your hands up. Only one brave soul. How many women here have a husband that you don't get? See, they're not afraid to tell on you. We pray from what we see. We pray from what we know. We pray from what we think. And sometimes the answer to the issue is not what we think. And what we see may not be the truth. The conclusion I come to what I see, may not be the reality. And so the Holy Spirit wants to be your advocate. And he becomes your advocate when you pray in tongues. The mysteries you're praying to God are not things that God doesn't know. They're things that your physical brain, Chris, doesn't know. But the Holy Spirit and your spirit now has a vehicle through your mouth, and it bypasses your brain. And the Holy Spirit, with your spirit, starts to speak to God about everything that needs to be unlocked in your life. You have a few things you want unlocked in your life? Do you have a few things you would like to have bound in your life, broken off of you? I don't know everything about Rob Scarallo. I know a lot. But there are stuff that trigger me, and I don't know why it triggers me. My spirit knows. My spirit could pinpoint the moment in time in my childhood when an offense was taken and I gave an open door to the enemy. I want to be able to pray in tongues with the Holy Spirit, because he will talk to God on my behalf about all the stuff in my life that needs to be sorted out. What an amazing advocate. Who wants an advocate like that? Yes, yes. And guess what? You don't have to pay him. I hired a lawyer one time. God bless the lawyers. It was $350 an hour. Oh, yeah. Wow. And his secretary did all the work. God gives you an advocate, and he's paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone, look at me for a moment. What makes my heart very, very sad is that there are a lot of teachings in many churches that say tongues are of the devil. And yet, Paul clearly says, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And he also says, when we pray in a tongue, the Holy Spirit is leading us. If one of the reasons for tongues is that the Holy Spirit will unlock things in you, and your spirit can now vent and speak to God and say, hey, the truth about Tamika is this, this, and this, and what she really needs is she doesn't see the kingpin that's keeping her in bondage. God, this is the issue. Deal with the issue. And now she, from her spirit, is interceding through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to the Father about everything you don't even know needs to be cleaned up in your life. Well, sign me up. I want it. Yes. Come on, turn to someone and say, sign me up. I want it. Absolutely. You see, everything God does, he does with a purpose. He didn't give tongues so that we'd look like a bunch of morons. On the day of Pentecost, some people, it says, they started laughing and said, oh, they're drunk. And Peter got up and said, they're not drunk the way you think. They're drunk in the Holy Ghost. God doesn't make us speak in tongues to look like fools. He gives us his Holy Spirit so that his spirit and our spirit come into relationship, and for the first time in human history, since the fall of the first Adam, man can talk directly to God, spirit to spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That's a pretty powerful reason, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. I want you to become comfortable with the fact that when you actually pray in tongues, your brain's not involved. You're praying from your spirit. In fact, I can tell you right now, while I'm preaching to you, talking to you, or having a conversation with you, I cannot write a grocery list. But I can talk in tongues and write a grocery list. Why? Because I'm not talking from my head, I'm talking from my spirit. How many of you speak in tongues in this room? Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
When you pray in tongues, your brain is free. Oh, that's weird. No, it's supernatural. And you cannot separate the supernatural from the Holy Ghost. He is supernatural. He's the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now, let me, I just said, I want to make it clear that when you talk in tongues, you are bypassing your brain. From the moment you learned how to talk as an infant, you wanted milk. You don't know how to say milk. Your brain hasn't educated your tongue how to move, your jaw how to move, your lips how to move, and you go, with moans and groans that cannot be uttered, okay? And mommy goes, you want milk? Milk, and she holds the bottle in front of you. Milk, milk, As you get a little bit older, ma. You want milk? As you get a little bit older, milk, milk, milky, all right? Wah-wah, we want wah-wah. Wah-wah's not a gas station, it's baby for water. But what happens is your brain slowly starts to learn how to move your lips, your tongue, and your jaw to make certain sounds that are connected with the pictures you want. And ever since, your brain has been involved with your tongue. That's why on the day of Pentecost, tongues appeared on their head symbolically, and it was on fire. It's the Holy Ghost is going to start speaking through human tongues. Somebody give the Lord a praise offering. Now, I said to you that when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you with mysteries. I said your brain doesn't understand. Paul just said, when I pray in tongues, I pray for my spirit, not my brain. Let me give you one more scripture to show you I'm not making this up. I'm not twisting scripture. I'm not trying to make it say what I want it to say. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses, in our limitations. Anybody here have any kind of weakness? My biggest limitation is not that I'm overweight. I'm just short for my weight. All right. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, whatever it might be. For we don't know what we should pray for or pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, capital S, Himself makes intercession for us with groans that cannot be uttered. When I speak in tongues, my spirit is speaking mysteries to God. When I speak in tongues, my brain doesn't know what's going on, but my spirit and the Holy Spirit is getting to the bottom of all the mess in my life, and it's straightening things out and interceding on our behalf. I want that advocate full-time working for the life of Rob Scarallo. If you agree, stand up and give the Lord a praise offering. Come on. Tell the Holy Spirit you want Him working and advocating on your behalf. Amen. All right, you can take a seat. Now, last week, if you were here, I left you on a cliffhanger. I told you that, I'll just tell you. So, my parents were missionaries to Australia. and they worked amongst the Italian-speaking people. And so I had to learn Italian. The kids learned English from us. We learned Italian from them. And my Italian is just as mixed up as my Spanish, okay? But the point is, it was during the late 60s and early 70s when drugs, rock and roll, and sex was a big thing. There was the hippie movement, rebellion up the wazoo here in the United States. They were burning cars, lighting fires on the college campuses. They did everything that would rebel against the establishment. The Bible says when sin abounds, the Spirit of God will abound even more. And in the midst of that, a revival came called the Jesus Movement. It even hit other nations in the world. It hit us. And so in my dad's church, the young people, we were on fire, man. We were having dreams in the Holy Spirit. We were seeing visions. We were casting out demons. And we would have a youth meeting in the church. It was a long church like this year. The aisle was actually a little bit longer. And some Australian kids, unsaved kids, worldly kids, drinking beer, would walk into the church, and we'd be worshiping like this here, and they'd come to make trouble. They get one-third of the way down the aisle, and suddenly we got eyes closed, and we hear, and then we hear crash, 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 and we look up, and chairs are flying everywhere. This happened on minimum two occasions. I think there was a third case, but it wasn't a kid from off the street. And we look up, chairs are flying, and the kid is on the floor, different person each time, all three times, and they're sliding like a snake, and chairs are just flying. And we would pick them up and take them into one of the back rooms and cast the demon out, just like in the book of Acts and in the Gospels. That's real, folks. The devil's a good hider. And he's a good player of make-believe. He makes believe he's not there. But this stuff is real. So here we were. We had come home from Australia. And my dad was taking his first vacation in 6 years. He was on furlough, so we were home for about 2 years. I was 15. My next oldest brother, who had these experiences with us in Australia, was 18. He was 3 years older than me. We were at a church convention, and the church rented all the churches of that movement came together, and they rented the hotel, and we would have big conferences. And there was a young girl that we had met as my parents were touring the churches. She was a backslidden Christian. She was very sexually free. She was backslidden in her way. And here we were at the conference, and she's out the front of the hotel soliciting men. And so my brother approached her and said, come on, you know better than that. And he started counseling her and witnessing to her, and she started to repent. And so, you know, we were very genuine, very enthusiastic, but not always very smart, okay? And so my brother said, he grabbed me, he said, come on, we're going to pray for this young girl. We'll take her up to our room. Well, it's a hotel. It's your bedroom. Not a smart thing to do. So we start praying for her, and we're laying hands on her, and all of a sudden, this spirit of lust inside of her manifests and takes over her personality. Her eyes are glaring. She spins off the bed. She's on the floor, and she's screaming, I'm not coming out. Well, you got a 15-year-old guy, an 18-year-old guy, and a pretty young girl in a room, and all of a sudden this girl's crying out, I'm not coming out. It looks really bad. So my second oldest brother gets another great idea, and he decides he's going to leave his little brother there with the girl who's manifesting with a demon, and he's going to go get a pastor. So here I am. I don't want to argue with him in front of a demon and let him see discord. And I'm stuck with this girl, and she's manifesting and screaming and crying all kinds of bloody murder. And Joe leaves, and Rob is there. And suddenly this demon wants to hide. The girl lifts her head up and says, I'm okay now, Rob. You can let me up. And in my spirit, I knew this was not her. This was a demon. And I thought, God, what do I do? And I did the only thing I knew how to do. I started to pray in the spirit. Limited knowledge here. Unlimited knowledge in the Holy Spirit and in your spirit. The moment I started praying in tongues, the demon inside of that girl looked up at me, glared at me, slammed her hands on her ears and said, stop, stop, I can't stand it. What's so sad is that there are many Christians who actually say that talking in tongues is of the devil. But the truth of the matter is, it is your advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will intercede through you and assess the situation and pray things you don't know to pray, and he will hit the nail on the head or he'll hit the devil on the head. Are you hearing me, church? Absolutely. Paul makes it very clear. If I pray in a tongue, the Spirit prays. Capital S. But there's so much misunderstanding and misteaching regarding this subject. And so I thank God that as I prayed in the Holy Spirit, as I prayed in tongues, I don't know if it was the tongues that irritated the demon or the Holy Spirit was actually saying something through my mouth and cursing that demon, and he couldn't stand it. But whatever the bottom line was, I am glad the Holy Spirit was my advocate. Come on, give the Lord a hand. The second reason for praying in tongues is we are praising God. If we look at Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to read the whole passage, but if we skip all the way down to verse 11, it says, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Verse 10 lists people from all over the known world. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, people from Rome, from Asia, from Cappadocia, Judea, Pontus, Mesopotamia. It says all these people from everywhere, both Jews and converts to Jews, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. On the day of Pentecost, because it was the festival of Shavuot in Hebrew, Pentecost in Greek, they are required to come from everywhere if they are by faith a Hebrew, a Jew, and come to Jerusalem. And here are these people from around that area of the world, and they're hearing these Christians from Galilee. Galileans, there's a slur to being a Galilean. It was a place of inferiority. And these people were amazed. Are they not Galileans? And yet we hear them praising God, speaking of the wonders of God in our own tongues. The second reason why tongues is a great thing is because it takes your praise to a whole nother level. Look, I don't know about you. I mean, sometimes I have to use a thesaurus to find extra words for something I'm writing. But when I go to praise God in English, I'm limited. But when I praise God in tongues, all of a sudden, there's a whole new world of expression to give God glory. Would anybody here want to limit their praise to God? No. Let me show you something else that backs this up. Again, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. We read this part, but I'm going to read a little bit more. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what should I do? I will pray with my spirit. What's that? Tongues. And I will pray with my understanding. Remember, Paul said, if I pray in tongues, my mind is unfruitful. So here he says, if I pray with my spirit, I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. You could sing in tongues. I will also sing with my understanding. So Paul is saying, sometimes I will praise God and talk to God from my understanding, my intellect, But other times I'm going to switch to the spirit, and from my spirit I'm going to go even deeper and communicate with God. If you want to go to a deeper level with God, allow the Holy Spirit to help your spirit bypass your brain. But he goes on and he says, I will sing with my spirit. I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, when you're singing in tongues or praying in tongues, how can anyone else who is now in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving? They don't understand. They do not know what you are saying. When we pray in tongues, we're giving glory to God. If tongues is of the devil, what demon would want to give glory to Jesus Christ? Never. And so there's this erroneous teaching, unfortunately, in many good churches that actually teach people that tongues is of the devil. Now I want to tell you that Paul makes it very clear. In fact, Paul says at one point, I'm glad I pray in tongues more than most people. Why? Everyone look at me for a second. Let me give you a real practical application. All your life, you learned as a baby to say wah-wah and then water, and you learned how to put words together, and finally your sentences got better structure and grammar. Okay. Now, our spirit is suppressed. And everything we do out of our biased and our limited knowledge. When we start to pray in tongues, and this is why God initiated it, your brain has to step aside, and now your spirit starts to speak. Do you know that your spirit can grow? Did you know that? In the Gospels, it says of Jesus when he was a little boy, it says he grew in stature, physical, and he grew in spirit. If your spirit never has expression, how's it going to grow? If your spirit is bound up, if we believe that this is of the devil and we forbid this, it's like taking things you wrap your arm with. An ace bandage, okay? No plug for ace, but anyway. You know, if you were to take a little baby and bind it up from its toes all the way up to its neck and fed it like that for the rest of its life, would it grow properly? It would have a stunted growth. A bonsai plant is any plant whose roots are stymied. They are twisted and tied, and it limits the growth. Your spirit will be limited if you do everything from your understanding. God wants to set our brain aside and release our spirit, so now we start to live more from our spirit. I'll give you a biblical example. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were first spirit people. They had flesh and blood, but they lived from their spirit. God said, you can eat from any tree, don't eat from that one tree. The devil comes along and he says, hey, look at this apple. Isn't it delicious? He appeals to their flesh. They saw that it was good for food. He appeals to their soul. It will make you wise. They saw that it would make them wise. They disobeyed God's spirit and their spirit, and they gave dominance to their physical body and their soul. And ever since the fall, man's been living out of his body and out of his spirit and not out of his soul and not from his spirit. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, God said, I'm going to put, every time you allow yourself to talk in tongues, you're saying to your brain, be quiet. I'm going to go spirit to spirit, and it allows your spirit to stretch his wings, and it allows him to grow. It no longer, your brain no longer restricts the growth of your spirit. But as we start to speak in tongues, what happens is your spirit grows, it becomes confident, it's being given release, your body's being put in check, your brain's being put in check. And what happens is your spirit starts to grow stronger and your brain and your body starts to submit to your spirit, which submits to the Spirit of God. It's the same purpose with fasting. Why do we fast? I'm going to go on a hunger strike to convince God to do what I want him to do? No. When I fast, I'm saying no to everything my flesh needs. I'm saying no to everything my soul wants. And I am allowing my spirit and the Holy Spirit to have prominence, to have the superiority. And so when we fast, we are literally denying the flesh, denying the soul, and we're saying yes to the spirit. And your spirit grows. How many of you have ever fasted 2 or 3 days and became more sensitive in the spirit and saw things and heard things? Put your hand up. Let me see. See? All right? The first Adam messed up God's system, spirit, soul, body, and he became a man who lived from his body and lived from his soul. God sends his Holy Spirit and says, I'm going to give you tongues because I want to bring divine order back again. I want to bring you back to the place before Adam fell. I want you to live from your spirit and not from your brain. Amen. How many of you want to live from your spirit and not from your brain? Paul says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Paul says, for as many are as sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. I want my spirit to override my brain. I hear with my natural brain, I see with my natural brain, but I want to hear the things of the Spirit, and I want to see the things of the Spirit, so that I can hear what the Holy Ghost is saying and say, yes, Lord, and follow him. If you're in agreement, give the Lord a praise offering right now. Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God. Here we go. So when we are praying in tongues, we are often praising God. It's a benefit. When we look at this in context, if I could have the screen, guys. When we look at this in context, what Paul is saying is, when I pray with my spirit, little s, when I sing with my spirit, little s, when I'm praising God in the spirit, I am doing it in another tongue. What he's differentiating, it's not coming from your brain. It's not coming from your intellect. It's coming from the Holy Spirit and your spirit. You see, the beauty of speaking in tongues is it frees up our spirit to start growing and having communication. That will never happen if your brain stays in charge. Your brain literally has to submit. You have to submit and say, I'm going to allow myself to say sounds I've never learned, and I'm going to trust God's spirit that he is talking through me, and it makes sense to God. Yes. Amen. Absolutely. I want you to recognize Paul's terminology. Because sometimes Paul uses specific phrases and they mean something very specific. When he refers to praying or singing with our spirit, when he refers to praising God in the spirit, capital S, he's talking about the supernatural act of the Holy Spirit communicating to God through your spirit. So praying in the spirit. Paul says, I will pray in the spirit, and then I'll pray with my mind. Did we read that? Hello? People, did we read? Paul says, I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with my mind. Did we read that? I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with my mind. Did we read that? Absolutely. Understand Paul's terminology. When he says praying in the spirit, or pray in the spirit, or sing in the spirit, he's talking about praying and singing in tongues. So here's point number three. When you pray in tongues, it actually builds you up. The Bible says it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, Paul says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Now, the Greek word for edify, it's two Greek words. It's oikos, meaning house, and domio, meaning to build. And Paul is saying that when you pray in tongues, you're building that temple that is inside of you. You're building the spirit in you where the Holy Spirit resides and has relationship. Jesus grew in stature, but he also grew in spirit. And the more you allow the Holy Spirit to bypass your brain and talk through your spirit, the more your spirit becomes the dominant player in your life. Does that make sense? Watch this. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness on a 40-day fast. Now, when the Holy Spirit tells me to go on a 40-day fast, I usually say, I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. What's the first thing the devil does? He says, Jesus, what a task. 40 days, I know you're famished. Listen, you're the Son of God. Say to that stone to be bread and eat. What's he doing? He's doing the same thing he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Adam was living from his spirit. Satan knew if he lives from his spirit, I can't beat him. But if I could get him to live from his flesh, I can beat him. And so with Jesus, the Holy Spirit told him to fast. And so now the devil's saying, eat, eat. And if Jesus had have eaten, he would have allowed his flesh to be dominant over his spirit. What's interesting is when he finished the temptations and he comes out of the wilderness, you know the first thing that the Bible says? When Jesus, when Satan departed for a more opportune time, Jesus left the desert and he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. The more we can say no to this and allow our spirit to speak and allow our spirit to move, the stronger our spirit becomes and the more our flesh submits to the Spirit and the Spirit of God. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Absolutely. Very good, very good. When you pray in tongues, it builds you up. Anyone who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. You see all the words there? To edify, to build up. No, go back. Literally to build someone up, helping them to stand, be strong, be sturdy. Here's another verse, Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, verse 20 to 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. When we pray in tongues, our flesh bows, our intellect bows, and allows our spirit to have expression. And we are flipping, just like Paul said, I'll pray in my spirit, I'll pray in the spirit, I'll pray with my mind. The more we allow that to happen, we are flipping and we are giving leadership to our spirit, just like the first Adam, and just like the last Adam, Jesus Christ. How many of you want to be more like Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Fourthly, and I end with this, most people don't know that speaking in tongues is part of the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. He didn't just say put on the armor of God. Put on all of it. Make sure you get all of it so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Everyone look at me. Do you know that there is a demon set aside for each and every one of us who wants to trip us up, trap us up, and lock us up? And Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's plot, the devil's schemes, the devil's plans. And then he talks about put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness, take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, take up the shield of faith, bind your loins with the belt of truth, and shod your feet with sandals, which are the preparation for preaching the gospel. Helmet, breastplate, sword, shield, belt, shoes. Not perfect. The very next word, perfection, is the number 7. The very next verse, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You see, most people never quote this because they don't understand terminology. I took a minute to explain terminology. Oh, boring. Everybody go, boring. He's so boring. But when you understand terminology, it unlocks hidden things in the Spirit. It unlocks truths that the devil's trying to suppress. He doesn't want you praying in tongues, because when you pray in tongues, it is a guided missile in the Holy Ghost. Its GPS is the Holy Spirit, and it will hit the devil square in its ground zero. When you pray in tongues, you are not praying with your mind. You are praying with the Spirit of God and your spirit. You can't pray a more accurate, faith-filled prayer than when you pray in tongues. Amen. That's why Paul said, I'm glad I pray in tongues more than most people. He's not saying, hey, here's my badge. I got more tongues than you. No, what he's saying is, I unleash the Spirit of God and my spirit to intercede and pray things I don't know, and the schemes the enemy is planning against my family, against my children, against my marriage, against my business, the Holy Ghost, when I get my head, my big fat head out of the way, the Holy Spirit will zero in on everything that needs intercession, and he will be my advocate and enable me to pray spot on every time. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause. 8 people got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the class last week. 8 people went to get it. 8 people got it. It's a powerful, powerful tool. It's also a powerful weapon. In one moment, when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying for my needs. In another moment, the Holy Spirit is praying through my spirit and chopping down the enemy's plans. Come on, church. I didn't make this up. I'm not the one who brought tongues of fire down on the day of Pentecost. God did. The sad thing about the first Shavuot was that it's mentioned 3 times in the Old Testament. And the last time that it's mentioned, Moses makes the point of rehearsing in the people's ears. He said, you didn't want to come up to the mountain. You were afraid of the fire. You were afraid of the smoke. You were afraid of the thunder and the lightning. That was your God. You were afraid of what you could not understand with your natural minds. God wanted you to come to the mountain. And you said, no, Moses, you go to the mountain. We're happy to have God second hand. On the day of Pentecost, God didn't bring the fire on the mountain. He brought the fire on born again sons and daughters. And he lit up their tongue to illustrate. I don't want to just talk from the mountain. I want to talk from my sons and my daughters. You're his ambassadors. Every one of us is called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to do it with the power of the Spirit. I'm going to close with this. This will click it together. Watch. I mentioned the Samaritan woman. Jesus read her mail. And she says, where should we worship? You're a prophet. Where should we worship? She wanted to get the place right. She said, as you know, us Samaritans, we believe that up here in the mountains, that's the holy place of God. You Jews think it's in Jerusalem. So you're a prophet. You just read my mail. I want the inside scoop. I want to hear straight from God. Where's the place we're supposed to worship from? And Jesus said, you Samaritans, and what he said almost sounds rude. He said, you Samaritans, worship what you don't even know. Your head knowledge is completely wrong. Everything you think, it's wrong. God never said to worship up in the mountains. He said the Jews worship what they know. What did they have? They had the law. They had rules. They had requirements. They had ceremony. He said the Jews worship what they know. But a time is coming, and even now is, where the true worshiper will worship God in spirit. God's greatest desire is to set our brain aside and allow our spirit to have full access to Him. Most Christians struggle because we live from the flesh, we live from the soul, and God wants us to live from the spirit. Your spirit will not grow if you keep binding it up and say, no, God doesn't do that stuff today. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. At Mount Sinai, at Shavuot, God gave the law. At Shavuot, in the book of Acts, God gave His spirit. And He wants His sons and daughters to move in His spirit, to grow in His spirit, and allow your mind and your emotions, your thoughts, to submit to the things of the Spirit. You know, Jesus said, I have to go, the Holy Spirit has to come. It's for your advantage. He actually says, it's better for you. Could you think of anything better than walking with Jesus? And yet Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go. And the Holy Ghost comes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will be inside of each and every one of us as an advocate, speaking on our behalf. Our spirit partners up with His spirit, and He starts to pray to God everything that needs to be sorted out in your life. Wow. Stand with me. Isn't it just like the devil? If tongues allows me to pray by the Holy Ghost and bypass my limitations in my mind and talk directly to God, if praying in tongues allows the soldier's javelin to become a guided missile and strike the enemy's camp, wouldn't it be just like the devil to say, oh, no, that piece of armor, that's not for today. It's a strategy. And if you've lived under the fear that tongues is of the devil, let me tell you, God made it up. And God brought it to us. And God, through His writings, through Paul, encourages us to pray in tongues and to allow our spirit to praise God and intercede on our behalf. Next Sunday morning, during the praise and worship, I'm going to invite people to come out the front. If you've never spoken in tongues, your prayer language hasn't come, that doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. All it means is your brain is still in the way. Yeah. And God just wants to do a little shift so that you could pray in the Spirit and pray with your mind. God's not against your mind, but your mind is limited. My mind is limited. Okay? He wants you to pray in the Spirit and pray in your mind. And then you pray in English. Father, I pray that people will get the revelation today, and that we won't live from our natural selves, but we'll live from our spirit, in obedience to You. Next week, during worship, I'm going to have my pastors out the front, some of my prayer warriors out the front, and I'm going to encourage you, come on out the front. But you know, you don't have to wait till then. You could start speaking in tongues any given moment. People think I have to be good enough. People think I'm not worthy. No. God wants to relate with your spirit. He is so excited about you coming into the fullness of His spirit. All you have to do is tell your brain, this is God. This isn't me. He ordained it. Do you know that Jesus literally said, and Luke writes this, He said, how many of you, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake? How many of you, if your son asked you for bread, would give him a stone? Then how much more, if you're evil and you would give your kid bread and not a stone? Here, here's a bunch of rocks. Chew on these. How much more, those of you that you can make mistakes, you fail, you have moments, how much more your good Father in heaven, when you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he will give you the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus have to use that? Because he knows that when the Spirit comes, our spirit has to be free of our mind. And your mind wants to go AWOL. Your mind wants to rebel and say, no, this can't be. But the more you have faith and trust God, and just put your mind to the side, and with your mind, praise him in your mind, and let the Spirit, see, he's calling right now. And let the Spirit, Sela Lama Sukute Inemaku. My brain wants to say, stop. Come on. I taught you how to talk. Wawa, remember? Water. Mommy, I want water. Stop. For the first time, your mouth is not being led by your brain. It's being led by your spirit and the Holy Spirit. It is such a powerful thing. God can baptize you now. God can baptize you on the drive home. God can baptize you in your living room, in your bedroom. It doesn't have to be here. The Spirit of God wants to come to you, and what it does is it deepens your relationship spirit to spirit with the Father. How many of you want the Holy Spirit? Amen. Father, I thank you. You're the one who directed me to pray this way, to preach this series. And I thank you, as people are open to your Spirit, even now, Holy Spirit, give them freedom. Let their mind step aside and give them freedom to pray from their spirit through your Spirit. I thank you. There is power in your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Even now, start to give people confidence to pray, to let tongues just rise up. Let that sound just flow. In your mind, give glory to God and allow your mouth to be unhinged from your brain and be connected to your spirit. Amen. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Amen. Everyone look at me. Last week, 8 people received the gift of tongues. Next week, I'm going to preach on gifts of fire. I'm going to describe each of the gifts, because we're not just meant to talk in tongues. We're meant to live in the Spirit. The Spirit has 9 fruit. I keep doing this. 9 fruit and 9 gifts. And you're meant to be full of him. Amen. I remember the first time I was asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All my friends my age were getting the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I came from an Italian Pentecostal background, a little bit, you know, rules and regulations. And I was stuck on one word, and the whole night I just went, la, 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 and I couldn't get past that. And so they didn't give me the wand of approval, you know. I didn't have that freedom yet. And all my friends were getting baptized. And I went home and I was praying, God, I want you. I want your Holy Spirit. And I went from doubt to a place of faith. I heard God say, not an audible voice, I've heard that once or twice in my life, but I heard in my heart, he said, next Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, the moment you get on your knees, you will speak in tongues. And so I told my brother, I said, next Wednesday night, I'm going to get it. He says, we're not having prayer meeting next Wednesday night. I said, it doesn't matter. Now, we were a little bit legalistic Pentecostals, so we would sing hymns, and then after the first hymn, you bow and you pray, and then everyone stands again, we sing another hymn. I said to him, I don't care. God told me, and the minute we bow for that short prayer, I'm going to speak in tongues. Well, it was a prayer meeting. The moment we got on our knees, you know, they closed the service, and people were leaving, and I didn't know. I was talking in tongues. I was 11 years old. I was just praying in tongues the whole time. I had a vision of the throne and the Father, and I saw him embracing me. And people just stood around watching me. The service was over. Some left, but others just stayed waiting for me. I was caught up in glory, had no idea that church had actually ended. And you know, I was so caught up in it. Kids have simple faith. I was so caught up in it that when I got up, I'm trying to talk in English and I kept talking in tongues. Now, the truth is that the spirit is subject to the prophet. You will not go to the cashier and suddenly pray in tongues. You will talk in English, all right? But that's how simple it is, okay? I want you to want it. It's a gift. God wants you to have it. Pablo, have you ever received that prayer language? God wants you to have it. And don't feel embarrassed that I asked you. How many of you have not received the prayer language yet? Let me see your hands. God wants you to have it. It's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. And it allows your spirit to grow. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Bless them today. They've been so attentive. Holy Spirit, don't wait for me. Visit them at home. Let them flow in tongues. Those who don't get it during the week, let them come Sunday with expectant hearts. I thank you, Holy Spirit. We need you. In Jesus' name. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart, it starts there. You must accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants to come into your heart. It's not about being Catholic or being Presbyterian. It's not about going to church. It's about asking Jesus in your life. And so before we leave here this morning, while every eye is closed, if you want to ask Jesus to come and live in you, come on, right now, while eyes are closed, raise your hand and say, I want Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. You put it down. Who else would like to accept Jesus? Thank you. You know, three people said yes this morning. Here's another one and a little boy. Malachi's always wanting Jesus in his heart. I want everyone to pray this prayer. If you raise your hand, especially you, pray this prayer with me right now. Dear God, I believe you love me. I believe you care. Jesus Christ, I believe that you are God and you died on that cross. For me, for my sins and my mistakes. So, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me of every mess up and every sin. I accept you into my life. Come and live with me. Thank you today for forgiving me, setting me free, and living inside of me. I receive you, and I believe you received me. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. A couple of people raise their hands this morning. Put your hands together and let them know how proud you are of them. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Have a great week. Did that help this morning? Did that bring clarity? Okay. And come on, believe God to pray in tongues during the week, or come next Sunday believing God, and we'll see you released in the Holy Ghost. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.